You are now entering the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.
Hello and welcome to the first Comic Roast of 2016. I am your host, Scott. You can find me on Twitter at XOrsonX. I am here with Brian. You can find on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. And we are here with Chris, who you can find on Twitter at SkateXEdge. Our number one for the week is The Last Gang in Town on
Vertigo.
Is it Vertigo? Because that sometimes doesn't get changed. But yes, on Vertigo. And our overrated, underrated for the week is Things to Do on Vacation.
Circles the globe in search of a listener. Can you hear me now?
Yes. All right. So we hope everyone had a good and safe New Year's. Getting right into it, I've read a lot this week, but nothing really, I guess, was awesome enough for me to remember to say I need to talk about how awesome this was. So I will pass the mic along.
Right. just, you know, same difference. Couple things here and there. The first one, another Aftershock Comics book that I picked up. Super Zero number one from Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor. It's about a girl in Tampa, Florida, who is obsessed with comic books and superheroes, who decides she wants to be a superhero, but she needs the tragic backstory event that's going to propel her into superherodom. So she finds a homeless veteran in downtown Tampa after school and offers him money to rob her father and stepmother at gunpoint, so when they come home all distraught, she can spring into action as the superhero that she thinks she's supposed to be. And you know, it doesn't really go the way she hopes, but it actually, Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti, they kind of inject some ideas that are a little bit bigger than just a superhero story. It's actually a really, it's my favorite book that I've read of theirs to this point. It's really, it's a great first issue, and I don't know, I don't want to ruin anything, because it's, I think everybody should start checking out Aftershock Comics' books. This one is my favorite of all of them so far. Of the three that I've read, I saw that Garth Ennis' new book, Screaming Eagles, is out, but I'm not real. Dreaming Eagles, is that what it's called?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not big on World War II comics, so I'm probably not going to get that one, but there's a couple new ones coming down the pipe in a month or so that I'm going to pick up, but Super Zero number one, I highly recommend it to everybody. I think it's pretty good. I read number one of Batman 66 meets The Man from U.N.C.L.E., and that's pretty much exactly what you'd expect. It's written as if it's a 60s TV show. Just stupid, goofy fun. And all the dialogue's written as if Adam West is saying it, so it's pretty good if you're into that. It's only a 6-issue miniseries, so I'll definitely finish that. And then the last thing, season one of Agent Carter. I got that for Christmas, and I blew through it in, like, two sittings because it's super good. They took a character from the first Captain America movie and made an entire show out of her, and just, the show's so excellent. I recommend it to everybody if you haven't seen it. Season two starts in a couple weeks, but of the Marvel Network shows, it's by far the best one on. And it's only 8 episodes, so that's my recommendations for the week.
I just got caught up on Descender. That was it.
That's it?
Yeah. No. Actually, I read, got caught up on Descender. I what else did I read? Caught up on East of West. And I read Yeah, that was, oh, Outcast, Paper Girls, Rebels, Pretty Deadly, all of which were good. Pretty Deadly was good. Outcast is awesome. I don't care what you say. Rebels is awesome, too. But I don't think either one of you have picked that up. So, your loss.
Wah, wah, wah.
And Descender is by and far excellent, excellent, excellent. And if no one reads it, then you are just a queek whale.
Okay.
Well, have you gotten up to 8 yet?
I haven't. I haven't read it.
Oh. I just read it this morning.
Well, America for you.
No.
Yes. America
Trinidad,
for you. America
Trinidad. For you. No, Trinidad for me.
Whatever. Anyway.
Zimbabwe. All right, go ahead, Scott. Take it away.
Well, I mean, this usually would just jump into the number one now, and it was your pick, so why don't you just keep going and bring us into the number one.
All right. Well, my pick for this week was Last Gang in Town on Vertigo by Oliver Daiglow and Brusco. I think I pronounced that right. Anyways, Last Gang in Town. I'm just going to go, before I start getting into it, I'm just going to go right out and say this, that maybe it's just me, but I noticed, like, with some of these issue ones that have been coming out lately, that they're pretty vague in what their whole plot is. I don't think there's too many that I've read recently, number one-wise, that have actually laid a good foundation down as to what is ahead, story-wise.
It does seem that way the last few weeks,
and
yeah.
I would say the same thing about this.
I would agree.
I know what I read, but if someone told me, to, like, what it's about, I was like, dude, I don't... Well, it keeps switching back and forth from the 70s to 2018... where there's a punk band stealing from like a 70s like cock rock band called the Pink UFOs, and they're stealing their equipment, and they're called Heavy Manners with a Z, and it starts off, I guess, where, like, you know, they're like kind of, you know, casing the, you know, the joint, I guess. And they get some groupies come by. I don't know if they, like, set it up to get the groupies, but some groupies come by and start, you know, giving some pleasure to the roadies, which distracts them. They head off into the trailer, start stealing some gear, and they make off like bandits. The roadies chase them. That's kind of how the first introduction to the book ends, with the girl, like, you know, getting ready to toss the guitar, and Brody's like, no, don't, and then she just lands on, like, this garbage boat. I don't know what you call it.
A barge. Kind of
boat. Yeah, thank you. And then it switches to 2018, where this man and woman are, looks like they're trying to recruit this punk chick, this snotty punk chick in a cafe, who's trying to break into their car. It almost reminds me of Point of No Return with Bridget Fonda.
Wow, yeah, okay.
Where, like, you know, she was like some street kid or whatever, and like they recruit her, you know, to become an assassin. And I kind of thought that that's where they were going with it, but I can't really tell. And it keeps switching back and forth, so I don't even know, like, really what the correlation, what ties, like, 1977 punk band from the UK, Heavy Manners, has to do with this girl, except maybe I think that the girl is, like, the, one of the guys in the band is her dad.
I assume that the girl who stole the guitar was the lady who was trying to recruit the girl in the future.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay. All right. That seems better.
But still, you know, from in the 70s, she was in the punk rock band where, screw the establishment, man. And now she's like, you guys want to, you want to give me this job opportunity?
Why do I feel like you both read this wrong?
Then you go ahead.
Go nuts.
I feel like that the girl that was being recruited, so to speak, maybe I'm wrong, I was under the impression that's her as an older woman at the very end coming to the house in Switzerland or wherever
it
is.
Yeah.
I took that the punk rock girl on the garbage barge was the lady in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
And the girl that was being recruited in the 70s, and she's showing up now in her late 50s, early 60s at all the right. guitar player's house, i.e., 2018, after all these years of separate lives, they're getting the band back together for one last something. I don't know what that something is. That's how I took it. But, I mean, I took it as that the band, their story, and that girl, her story, their stories are separate at the present time, or at least they're separate in the 70s at this point in the book. And at some point, they're going to come together. And then, because at the end in 2018, they're all coming back together for something. It looks kind of like a situation like that movie Red, where Helen Mirren and John Malkovich and Morgan Freeman, they're all ex-assassins, and they're all, like, living in retirement homes. Or if you're John Malkovich, near the river, covered in grass, thinking everybody's trying to kill you or whatever. But they're getting the band back together one last time. For what? Well, I have no idea.
I'd buy that too.
Yeah, that's not too far off from what was being said, I guess.
The two people that throw me is the girl that looked like the boarding school student, the one who was on the container ship or the barge where they had the horses and they had the one thoroughbred and then the regular mains and then the one main
guy.
That's
the one that's doing the recruit, they're trying to recruit.
Right.
Alexandria Dixon.
Right.
Is her name.
Right. And then the guy with the mustache is just her. He's the Watson. He's the Watson to her Sherlock Holmes. That's how I took it.
Yeah.
Right.
That about covers it, I suppose.
Right. So my thinking is the girl that was, you know, trying to break into the car, that happened in the 70s, right around the same time as the band stole the equipment and played in the basement of the S&M club.
Yeah. And did two songs.
Two and a half songs.
Two and a half. Yeah,
followed by, hey, why don't we play Kisses for Me by the David Bowie lookalike guy named Pink UFOs.
who I thought that he was in a hotel room that kind of mocked like Led Zeppelin and
a little bit.
Yeah, because they were throwing TVs out the window.
Yes.
And they had naked chicks all over the place?
There were plenty of those as well, yes.
Which I'm sure Led Zeppelin had plenty of those, too, back then.
Story goes that John Bonham was fishing in the Pacific Ocean out of a hotel room window, caught a baby shark, and then they coerced a female fan into their hotel room, and he proceeded to talk her into bending over naked while he spanked her bare ass with the baby shark while it was still alive.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I think I heard that on VH1. So if that is a story they told on TV, I can only imagine what weird stuff they did. I also heard a story where Jimmy Page dressed up like a... where Jimmy Page lured a young girl into his hotel room, dressed like a magician, opened his cape, and he was butt naked. And then waved a wand and pointed to his thing and said, yep, Merry Christmas. So I think they got into quite a few exploits. Not to mention, if you've seen the live video of Song Remains the Same and you get a close-up enough shot of Robert Plant, that dude is packing some solid heat. That dude.
He's totally packing so much heat that he has to put it in his fucking pants leg.
Yeah, unless that... Yeah, there was no Photoshop back in the 70s. That dude was rocking it.
No wonder he was able to nail so many broads.
He was Robert Plant. He was going to get that much female loving anyway, but with that missile in his holster...
He's like, I'm
going to
give
holster,
you a lot of love.
That dude was... He was bringing the Lemon Song on the road. Anyway.
But yeah, that's I would go with that interpretation too. I mean, it just kind of goes to show you how, like, I guess maybe it was kind of vague, maybe not so, I don't know. I mean, like, that we each got, like, two different interpretations of what's going on, or at least of who's who and what they're trying, or what their agenda is.
Well, they didn't really use a lot of names outside of one or two of the characters in the book, so it's, you know, kind of hard to, especially when you're going to keep jumping timelines. One's the 70s, one's 2018. I could have swore I saw one a little older.
Brian's right. It's 1977 where they're trying to recruit that Alexandria Dixon.
Yeah. But
like, the whole thing with the band, I don't know what that has to do, like, with what's going on. It doesn't really make any sense.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it will, but yeah, you need to have a hook. And maybe it's just me, but, like, the whole British accent, for me, I love it in TV and film, but when you put it in print in a comic book, like, it just doesn't work for me. I don't, like, because a lot of the stuff that they say, you know, even slang-wise, it's kind of hard to pick up on in print form, I guess. I don't know. It's just, part kind of annoyed me a little bit.
Well,
okay. So Jimmy and Billy were in the band. Okay, so, yeah, so, never mind.
To kind of compare it to a real-world story, there's a rumor slash... Well, here's the... Pink Floyd Animals is probably my second favorite of their albums. The Wall will always be my favorite for a million reasons, but Animals is probably second. And the rumor goes that when the Sex Pistols were starting to make a name for themselves, they specifically were calling out other British bands for being sellouts, for being outdated, for being dinosaur rock, for being music that no one's going to listen to. Clearly they were wrong on all accounts. But anyway, one of their big targets was Pink Floyd, and Johnny Rotten and Sid Vicious essentially were saying that Pink Floyd was old man music and they're too busy floating around in their gold bathtubs with their millions of dollars to care about singing about anything relevant, and that their music wouldn't stand the test of time, and the Sex Pistols were going to be the greatest thing ever, blah, blah, blah. So in response, I guess they were already working on the music anyway, but Pink Floyd was essentially challenged by the Sex Pistols to do something with some kind of social commentary, so they created Animals and based it off the book Animal Farm by George Orwell. So they were kind of, it was kind of, in a way, they wanted to do a concept album with a short amount of songs, but like long tracks. And they also wanted to do something that was going to stand out from their other work. And at the same time, they kind of felt like they were put upon by the Sex Pistols. So they were kind of like, all right, you think we're, you know, some grandiose millionaire rock band? Well, F you, here's our response. And they gave them Animals, and we see what band has stood the test of time, which band is pretty much a niche band at best. So there you go. I kind of got the Pink Floyd Sex Pistols vibe from this book because of that, because of the thing about, oh, these guys don't do anything, and oh, when they run out of ideas, what do? They write a concept album. Animals was a concept album. Oh, what do with their millions? They go out and buy a farm, and yeah. I think David Gilmour owns a farm, so... There were a lot of little subtle references to the rivalry between those two bands. At least that's what I got. So, being a fan of Pink Floyd, being one who, I don't hate the Sex Pistols, but I guess I never got it. They were just meh. The Misfits were always my band, so. And to me, the Misfits came out at the same time and were a million times better. So, terrible musicians, but amazing songs.
Yeah, I would. I could see where you see that, but I still want to know who the heck at the end, Joey and Billy. I guess those are.
I'm thinking the drummer and the guitar player.
Yeah, because in the beginning, they only mentioned one dude's name, Johnny.
No, they mentioned Joey.
Did they?
Yeah, Joey gets mentioned as well. whoa. Yeah, didn't you remember that part? I go, whoa.
That was not, you don't do a good whoa.
All I see is, you sure about this, Johnny? And that's about it. And then I don't see anything else. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Yep, Joey, there it is. Yeah, you're right.
Billy Bow, guess who read it better than you?
Yeah. Boy, I think we've got about all we can out of this book. So
Joey's
we...
the girl, well, I did... and Billy's probably the other.
I did want to touch on the artwork, too, because I was a huge fan of the... I think the artwork is pretty reminiscent of R. Crumb or maybe like Mad Magazine.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Minimum Wage.
That a little bit too, but I think the more wackiness of it all kind of reminded me of like the 70s alt comics movement. So,
yeah, I agree with that.
That kind of was nice to see because everything now is either like super cartoony or super like dark or super hero-y. So this was kind of different. So I was into that as well.
Yeah, it's it's not bad. Not great.
All right, well...
I'm a little indifferent right now, to tell you the truth.
All right. Well, fair enough.
I'm trying to see if there's anything else I could really say about it. No, I guess that's about it. I mean... I want to say I'm kind of interested to... to see what it is that I'll check out the next two issues. I definitely want to see like what ties them together, or like what is it about them that they're. I mean, it's not like, were they brought together by that woman? Actually, I can't remember if they say her name, but I don't think they do. But I mean, she recruits her, recruiting her for. I guess it's. You make it. They make it sound like it's something for Queen and Country, but it sounds like it's more for some kind. It's like some kind of like debauchery or stealing like the Mona Lisa or something.
No, they pretty much made it sound like it was some kind of underground, victimless crime type of scenario. So,
other than that, I mean, I think it's that whole thing, like I was saying before. It's like I wish some of these number ones were just a little bit better at laying down the foundation of what it is you are trying to tell. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
See, I'm okay with that, because if you're going to strap in for 12, 15, 20, 30 issues, I don't want to have everything spelled out for me in the first issue.
I want it spelled out for you, but you got to have something. A hook.
I want to have... Well, all right, well... Fair enough.
Right now, all you got is someone who stole a guitar and then some old lady's trying to recruit somebody else.
And what I'm really seeing here is no hook.
All right.
I mean, do you? Is there a hook in there for you?
I found more than one. I really like this book. I thought it was really great.
Okay.
So you kind of got an idea.
Hey, as long as someone enjoys it. I'm not saying it was bad. I liked it. I mean, I'm just saying I wish there was a little bit more, you know, to give me. You don't have to spell it out for me or just give it to me right away, but I mean, give me a little bit more something that says, you know, I mean, I guess the hook then was like her tie with the band. So overall, I would give it a 7.
Okay.
I think the dialogue fit well. I think the art fit well. I kind of like how like most of the pages, it maybe it's just me who noticed it, but like the one where Heavy Manners is playing, you know, in that S&M like bar, you know, everything's kind of like of a shade of red.
No, I remember. I noticed that.
And then like
there's
another page where everything, like towards the beginning, it was like everything was like a shade off of blue.
I like that. I like the notes scribbled on the margins of like various little rock tidbits. I thought that was cool. I'm going to give this an 8.5. I mean, from the art, I thought the dialogue was great. I think the story's super interesting. Between this and Art Ops, I'm glad to see Vertigo is finally putting out some books I'm interested in again, because they kind of didn't do much liked for a while. So, like I said, Art Ops has totally got me, and I think I'm on with this one. I'm going to give it an 8.5. I really like this book a lot.
Yeah, I really didn't care too much for it. There's a lot of it I can complain about, you know, so I'd give it like a 5. It was just all right.
Yeah, if they don't get you in the first one caring about the characters, I mean, then there's no.
Well, I know. Well, he was just mentioning Art Ops, and you know, we did that one a few weeks ago, and I actually did buy the second one of that, even though that one I didn't really care for either. But I was like, I'll give it another shot, and I'm done. I'm not trying with that one no more.
Yeah, I like that one actually.
I think that's a fantastic book.
Yeah. But anywho, I guess we're moving on.
Different strokes for different folks.
Amen to that, sir. So apparently, I don't know if we're going to go into name calling or whatever's going on here, but somebody in Philadelphia went and stole our idea. If you're a longtime listener, which of course you guys are, you know that the name for the show, The Comic Roast, is something I came up with a while back because I was like, oh, I want to open a comic book store / coffee house and call it The Comic Roast, where you can come and buy your comics and get some coffee and read your books and play some games, whatever, kind of like a cross between your local comic book store and like a Starbucks. Well, some lady in Philadelphia went ahead and did that, and now I think we might as well just shut the show down because she's crushing dreams left and right.
Her name is Ariel Johnson. Well, did you read the article?
I didn't. Well, you gave me the synopsis, so I'll let you.
Did you read the article?
No, I'm checking it out right now.
Anyway, this girl, Ariel Johnson, she is a 30-something African-American female. She's a longtime comic book fan. She's a longtime coffee drinker. And she was a college student at, I want to say, Temple University. I can't remember off the top of my head. But she went to a university, and she was in a college town. And she said the idea has been in her head for a long time because her favorite comic book store was the one she had when she went to college. And it was right across the street from her favorite local indie coffee house. So she said every Wednesday, or sometimes Saturdays, I guess, she would go buy her stack of comics, pick up her subscription stuff. She'd head across the street to the comic shop, get her latte and her scone or whatever, and she would sit there and read comics all afternoon. And she's had the idea ever since, and I guess after working a corporate job for a while, she put away enough money or gotten some kind of financial situation where she could open up the store she's always wanted to. So she opened Amalgam Comics and Coffee, and I saw some pictures of the store, and it looks awesome. I'm super jealous. It looks like she's got a small little cove area for podcasters to come in and do their shows. She's got a full bakery. She's got sandwiches. She's got lattes, coffees, etc. And then she's got deals where you can buy bags of coffee with like a four-issue set of Superman, whatever, or whatever, Bitch Planet, let's say. And it's like a package deal where you get a little bit of a discount on both. And I looked at the store, and it looks like it'd be like the place I would spend pretty much all my free time if I lived in whatever town she opened it up in. I'm super jealous. She's got some great ideas for what she wants to do as far as book clubs, game nights, trivia nights, movie nights. But if she's single, I mean, I'm willing to hang out.
I was trying to check her out and see if she looks hot or not. She's not bad.
You guys are the worst.
Personality goes a long way. Why is it? Why am I the worst?
Hold on. Listen, first of all.
I want to own a comic book store.
1 minute. No one, whoever meets anyone or marries anyone, says, oh, the first thing that attracted me was their personality. That's not the first thing you see, dumbass.
Yeah, stupid.
You see, if they're attractive look-wise, then if shit comes out of their mouth, then you're like, oh, they're fucking ugly as hell.
Wow.
Well, it's true.
Wow. Talking about this girl's success.
Okay, so you saw someone that was very pretty. We're not. She opened up her mouth and she's straight up racist. You'd be like, okay, no.
Anyway, back to this girl's store.
Okay, guess my point wasn't taken, so whatever. All right, go ahead, go on.
Oh, you guys didn't know with your mouth open. I thought you were going to talk. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, if
at least you didn't call it the comic roast.
Yeah, Yeah, we'd have to change the name of the show. So
it,
no,
it looks rad.
Yeah, it's similar to what I had in mind, but obviously I don't have the funds, so. But who knows, one day my dream may become a reality. And you know what? With her laying the groundwork, then maybe I'll have to take a trip out to Philly and be like, hey, I want to come check out your store because I want to do something similar, and then we can talk business, and boom, that's how friendship happens.
And then dating.
Well, I'm not creeping like you two. I'm just trying to have a business contact. That's all that is. So.
Well, maybe you can apply for a job there.
I totally would if, you know, I lived in Philly, but, you know, it's kind of a hell of a commute from Chicago, just saying. But, yeah, I totally dig what she's doing, and best of luck. I guess we can move this into the over-under for the week.
Did you not see the question I have here at the bottom?
Oh, I do now, yeah. So, okay, seeing as she's done with Amalgam Comics, now if we actually ever did open up the comic roast, what would we try to do to make it succeed? Well, I don't know if I would go full-blown bakery and sandwiches with like she did, because I feel like... I'd have to hire somebody for that because I'm not probably captain. I mean, I like to bake, but I ain't that good.
You can always commission a bakery in the town to give you a certain amount of... Because I know other places that do that. I'm pretty certain... Well, okay, perfect example. I mean, Starbucks, obviously, but they commissioned a bakery to give them all their pastries now that loaf.
You could do like a Starbucks in Target or a Subway in Walmart.
Yeah. I guess personally, I mean, I generally, like I've been to quite a few comic stores, game stores, whatever, and they all have something that works, but I think combining a lot of that different ideas, like the Wandering Dragon, for instance, has private gaming rooms, whereas A&F just has six tables spread out in the back.
You could still do the comic roast here. She's in Philadelphia.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not saying. I'm not saying I'm not going to. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, I definitely like the big community gaming area, but I think it's beneficial to also have that private space for people who might want to come in. You know, maybe do like a D&D or some kind of role playing pen and paper kind of game. You don't exactly want, you know, this guy playing Catan three seats away, these guys playing, you know, Take It to Ride four seats away. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want that quiet, private space, I guess. Plus, I think if I did something like that where there was going to be, like, a podcasting area, I don't know if I would do it, set it up to, a private podcasting, like a booth almost, where
I would do it like
that way the store noise doesn't.
The library.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. But it would also be nice to be able to break that out and do like live show, you know, like that would be fun too.
I think it would be what I would do with that podcasting idea would use the store to start a podcast network where I would have people say, hey, you do a podcast, submit your best episode, we'll listen to it, and if we like it, we'll add you to our network, and in exchange, you will put our name at the front, like presented by the Comic Roast is Bill and Ted's Excellent D&D Podcast, and then in the middle of the show, you break the show in half with a little 20-second commercial, and then brought to you by the Comic Roast at the end, and then whatever else, you just do all whatever you want. You could swear, you can run around a studio with, you know, a Superman costume on. I don't care. But, yeah, I would build a studio. And if you are part of the network, you would come in at your allotted time and record your podcast every week. And
Yeah, I think podcasts are kind of hard anyways, as it is already.
But I think if you have one umbrella that presents all these shows, you can advertise them at the store and then on the website, and then people could find them that way. And I would also.
I probably would almost like stay away from the whole podcast thing, really.
Well, you can open old, dirty comic book nothing store.
No, the only thing
nowhere.
I'm saying is because, like, now in this day and age, and, it, you know, it's kind of, I guess it's kind of almost like contradictive of me to say since I'm on one with you guys. It's like because it's so easily accessible for anyone that any schmo can do one. I think, like, most, like, sometimes it's hard to get, you end up getting lost in, like, the ocean of podcasts that are out there.
You're going to get lost in the ocean of podcasts anyway, so here's one way to kind of help promote the shows. Play them over the store loudspeaker.
There you go.
In lieu of playing music all day, maybe play music for a little bit, and then switch to a podcast episode, put on
That's
some music
a good idea,
again,
actually.
Put on this guy's podcast, and then who knows who's in the store might go, what is this? Oh, it's Jerry's awesome video game cast. It comes out every Thursday. And check it out. Here's our list of podcasts, and here's where you can get them, or you can download them all from iTunes.
That's a good idea,
actually.
Oh, okay.
I like this guy's show. He's funny. Ha-ha. Or so on and so forth. Hey, I was in the store. I checked out this Jerry's.
Especially if you have people already doing their tabletop gaming.
Right. And then I was thinking, here's the perfect place. There's a comic book store in Homewood that's for sale.
Oh, I'm sure it's sold by now.
Oh, I'm sure it's gone now, but it's in the old off-the-alley space. Well, what was in the off-the-alley space? In the back, behind the store, there was that little room where they would let the bands, like, put their equipment and, you know, go to congregate after their sets, turn that into a private, like, gaming room, and then what was the back half was off the alley where you have the juice bar and the stage. You can do, like, stand-up comedy and live podcast nights. And maybe even do some music stuff, too. If you get the licensing.
Or get the TVs back there, and you can even do, like, like Joe did with the fighting games. You could do, like, Mortal Kombat tournaments. And it all depends on how much space you have, and I guess that's, you know, that'd be a big.
Well, there's a space in Piatone. There's a store that is humongous, and I got a chance to go in there, and I was like, man, this is a great space. It's not being used well, but it's a great space. It's a humongous place. And it's being used so poorly. The comic book part is super small. The game area is humongous, but it's cluttered. And the guy only has, like, a small inventory of games. And then he's got a whole back part that's just filled with junk. And I'm like, if you clean this out and, like, set it up in a way, this could be an amazing place to hang out. But there's a reason why you only have 12 people in here, because you're not using the space well.
Yeah. I don't know. One day I'll have the money and then something might happen, but we'll see.
But I think, like, that Meltdown Comics in LA is such a huge success because it's a comic book store, they have a gaming space, and they have a stand-up comedy club in the back, and it's just all melds together perfectly because there's a whole big nerd comedy movement right now that's really popular with Chris Hardwick and all those. Kumail Nanjiani, that guy does a whole. He did a whole special on video game nerd stuff, and with the Big Bang Theory being popular, I think that that's. I mean, I'd say that stuff's going to be huge forever, but it's always going to have a thing. If insult comedy has survived for 50 years, I think nerd comedy will probably do all right.
Yeah, probably. Maybe it could be like the comic book / bakery.
That's what she's doing.
I know, but I mean, like, wedding cakes and stuff like that.
Oh!
Do you like Iron Man wedding
cakes? I mean,
like,
full-on bakery, dude.
That's actually not. That's what I'm saying. If you have a big enough space, you can have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, but wouldn't that. I think when you start to, like, tap into certain things, then, like, you know, like.
There definitely becomes a point where it's too much.
Yeah, like, what do you get? This is our comic book store / bakery / grocery store / auto repair.
You want your car to sound like Transformers, bring it on in.
Change your oil while you pick up your. Then you could just own, like, a whole strip mall.
Yeah, it's getting a little silly at this point. Comic roast strip mall? Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying at this point you would have a whole strip mall. They would each be separate entities, but.
I'll give you a separate entity, and it's called Over Under. Boom. Overrated, underrated for the week. Things to do while on vacation. Well, vacation from work. Because my overrated, in and of itself, is just vacations themselves are overrated. Because if you're like me, and your vacation consists of the couch, the kitchen, the couch, maybe the grocery store, there's no point to taking vacation. So, I mean, if you go places, yeah, vacation rules. But if you just sit around the house because you can't afford to go places, yeah, vacations are stupid.
Would disagree with that, but okay.
I disagree because getting up at 5 in the morning is horrible, so being able to sleep till 7:30 is like a godsend when you're able to stay home and then go on a couch and watch Jessica Jones for 4 hours while you eat pancakes instead of sitting in a cubicle all day.
Well, I have to look at it from my perspective, whereas I've been off all week, and I'm looking back at what I've done all week, and it's been absolutely nothing. I've shoveled. Yeah. I've went to the grocery store. I cleaned the house. I did laundry. It's all the same shit I do when I'm already here. Like, it's just it. There's no point.
Well, you have no one to blame but yourself then.
Well, you can't exactly go on a trip to Puerto Vallarta with $12. So.
No, but you can go on a trip to Wisconsin.
Not with $12. 14 maybe, but not 12.
Well, yeah. Well, the one day I was actually going to do something, it was snowing and there was accidents everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to spend 4 hours on the road just to go to the stupid museum. So, womp womp.
I can't believe you guys have both been off the whole week.
I have to. We shut down for the week. So
we do get you do get this weird thing called vacation time when you work.
I know that.
All right. Mine is eating whatever I feel like eating because as awesome as it sounds,
pretty much do it anyway.
Well, no, because, you know, I try to, like, eat not... Because I know I sit in a cubicle all day, so I don't bring, like, a four-course meal for lunch. I bring a sandwich and, like, an iced tea, or I'll bring a banana and a granola bar. I try to eat light because I'm like, I'm not doing anything all day. I can't be eating chocolate cake at work because I'm just going to, you know, have to go buy a whole new wardrobe in 5 minutes. But I'm like, oh, when I go on vacation, I'm going to have pancakes for breakfast, I'm going to eat pizza for lunch, and I'm going to eat a cheeseburger for dinner. And then after 2-3 days of that, and you're like, man, I have a headache, and it's because of what I've been eating. Because I've been eating junk for 3 straight days, and I feel like crap. I just sit there and go, man, I love the taste of those things, but the aftermath is starting to get to me. So, plus, like, when you overdo it and eat pizza, cheeseburgers, and pancakes 3 days in a row, you're like, oh, dude, I think I'm sick of cheeseburgers, pancakes, and pizza. I think I want to have a salad. So, and that's the thing. Like, when I worked at the newspaper, I ate fast food 4 or 5 days a week for years. And it just, it wears on you after a while. So,
do you think?
I don't mean even just like in the, oh, dude, I'm fat as hell all of a sudden. I'm talking about just like you're halfway through eating it and you're like, this doesn't even taste good anymore. It just tastes like a big ball of salt and chemicals, and it's just not satisfying. I'm just putting it in my face because it's over there and I don't feel like going over there, which is 2 blocks further, so whatever, snore. And then you fall over and go hot, and like green slime drools out of your mouth like a monster from the Nether Realms.
Guess
sometimes quinoa is good.
Well, I think when they say it's okay for you to eat that stuff, I don't think they mean it's okay for you to have pizza for lunch and then have a cheeseburger for dinner. I think they say it's okay for you to have pizza for lunch, but then don't have a cheeseburger for dinner.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't 99% of the time, but like earlier this week, I was like, I haven't eaten like that in years. I'm gonna do it this week. Because it's going to be awesome. So, yeah, not really that awesome. When you're walking around with the taste of salt in your mouth all day, it's like, I'm too old to be doing this.
Word that. My turn?
It's been your turn. You kept it going with my...
Sorry.
You kept my cheeseburger rant going. Scott's
overrated
falling asleep.
When you're on vacation, going on vacation is overrated when you're on vacation.
I could see that.
I'm going to tell you why. Because especially if you go on vacation with family, by the time everything's said and done, and like at the third date, you just want to go home because you're just sick of being around them.
I could see that.
And then when you're usually on vacation with your family, it's like shit's all on a schedule. Oh, we got to get up because we have to go over here. We're going to see this, and then we're going to go eat, and then we're going to go see this again. We're going over here to see this, and then we're going to see, and then we got to go for dinner at that. It's like, dude, what the fuck, man? That's not a vacation. The fucking regiment.
No, I could see that because I could see like getting out of work and going, all right, getting up at the crack of dawn tomorrow because we're driving to blah, 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 and we're going to come home on Saturday night, which means I get Sunday to relax, and oh, shit, I got to go back to work.
See, like when we went on vacation in May to Mount Rushmore, even, you know, my wife, she goes, this is the best vacation we've ever had. It was just, you know.
Just the two of us.
Just us three, you know.
We can make
Brenda,
it
Brenda, Logan,
we
and
try.
I, and we went, we drove to South Dakota. And we got up when we wanted to get up. We got out when we wanted to go out. And we didn't have, like, five other people to, like, you know. Because I've gone on when we've gone on vacation before, like, before that last vacation, we're at my mother-in-law's house. And it sucks because it's like we're 8, 17 all over again. It's like we got, like, a curfew or something. They go to bed at, like, 8. So you gotta be quiet.
Can we hold hands? No.
I hate being there because it's like if I wake up in the middle of the night, I feel like I can't go to the kitchen to go get something to drink. And then when you're with, and then before that, we went to Boston, and it was my parents, my wife's mother, her sister, her brother-in-law, nephew. I mean, and like every day it was like, what's tomorrow's plan? Where are we going to see? It's like, oh, fuck, man, it's not a vacation. I mean, I understand you want to see shit and all, but I mean, dude.
Yeah, everyone's got different things they want to see, so.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend every waking minute together.
Right, and then at this point, it's not even vacation. It's just fucking work.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, it's kind of funny because my underrated is fairly similar. It flips.
So if you ever go on vacation, make sure it's with yourself or with one other person. And that's about it.
Yeah, I've actually been to quite a few. I've gone to the museum quite a few times by myself, and those are the best times I go because I don't have anyone else pulling me around. But which brings us into my underrated, which, you know, instead of flying halfway around the country or halfway around the world to go all these fancy places, stay in your hometown. I guarantee there are millions of things to do within an hour of where you live that you don't even know or never thought to
that's
do.
That's true.
You don't need to go. Like I said, the one thing I always plan, because I'm always off this time of year, is I'm going to go to the Art Institute. And every time I pick the day, I wake up and, like, something happens. Like, I was going to go Wednesday, but it was, like, 2 inches of snow, accidents everywhere. And I'm like, I'm not going to drive for 2 hours to walk around for 2 or 3 hours to drive during rush hour to get home. Like, it ain't going to happen. So there goes that idea. You know, but it's just... There's so many things, like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, start naming names or whatever, but there's a friend of mine on Facebook, and he's constantly posting all these, like, cool pokes, you know, pictures and stuff of him and his family doing all this cool stuff, and it's like, dude, yeah, everything I do is, like, he's like, I don't ever go anywhere. He's like, I work. This is all, like, within a half hour to home. I'm like, oh, maybe I need to start looking into some of these things.
Are you talking about Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he does do a lot of that sort of thing.
You know, and
that's the thing. Last time... Not last time I was on vacation, but a couple of years ago when I had my first vacation from my previous job, I did that. I started looking up local things I can do. I'm like, I want to go to a museum, but I don't want to go downtown. I'm like, where's like a local museum, something weird that no one would ever think to go to? And I was like, oh, there's a Joliet Museum. It's the history of the city of Joliet. I'm like, that sounds weird. And I'm like, that could actually be just interesting enough to be a fun afternoon by myself. So I looked it up. They're like, we're open Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 10:45, and then Thursday from 6 p.m. to 7:43. And if you're in between the ages of 18 and 38, you have to come with a child who you're related to, and you need a DNA test to prove it, or you can't come in, or you have to have a school group or a senior group. I'm like, there's a lot of rules to this, and I can't figure out how to get in this thing without some kind of cartwheel slash... blood tests, so I think I'm just going to pass. It was like there were all kinds of weird restrictions. Like if you didn't have a Joliet ID saying that you're a citizen of this town, you need to provide this, that, and the other. Or you have to prove some kind of educational purpose for wanting to attend. Or you have to come with somebody from the town.
That
and I'm just like,
defeats the purpose of a museum.
Well, it's a municipal museum. It's not an open to the public museum, but it had a lot of interesting stuff about it, because the town's like 200 years old. So I was like, there must be some weird, like, you know, information about who the town's named after, or like the old railway that ran through there, or something. The river, and that's actually where my underrated was, to pick a day to do something you normally don't get to do. There's a town about 20 miles north of here, right down Route 45, called LaGrange, Illinois. Nothing super fancy. It's your standard issue suburban downtown area with the cafes and a couple of bookstores and weird gift shops and a cupcake store and an olive oil store and a Trader Joe's and whatever. But the thing that I like about Chicago is that you can drive 20 minutes down the road and be a ghost. Like, you can walk around and look at things and not run into some doofus you went to high school with and be like, oh my god, dude, we should get together and watch the Bears. No, we shouldn't. So that's the kind of thing you can go by yourself or go with a friend or two, and you can just walk around and no one knows you. Yeah, you're going to run into weird old Bob who's going to, you know, talk your ear off about how Obama's trying to eat your babies, but whatever. Just, you know, nod your head politely and go, yeah, Bob, you need shock therapy, and then leave. Stay out of the train store next time. That actually happened to me, so I'm just saying. There's a hobby store in downtown LaGrange, and we're like, oh, dude, trains and model cars. That's something we haven't checked out in a long time. We go in there, and this greasy old dude named Bob starts ranting and raving to me about how rap music is killing America's youth. Nobody plays with model trains anymore, and Obama is the devil. I was like, oh, my God. Somebody needs to get this guy a jacket that goes on backwards. So, but otherwise, cool store. I think it went out of business, unfortunately.
It wasn't Hobbytown USA, was it?
No, it was like LaGrange Hobby and something.
Yeah, I think those mom and pop shops. Hobby shops are pretty much all but gone.
Well, this one was like, it suffered, in my opinion, from being super small, cluttered, and run by a maniac, so I think that probably was the trifecta of doom for that guy. Well, because there's a hobby store, there's a mom-and-pop hobby shop in Joliet, which is super cluttered, but it's also big. They've also got a lot of things, and the one or two times we went there, there were a good amount of people in there, which tells me if you have variety and you have what people are looking for and you're knowledgeable and you don't rant and rave about how Obama is actually a Muslim who's trying to blow up Wisconsin, I think you'll probably do all right.
Yeah, probably.
Because here's my theory is, even if you hate Obama or hate this guy or that guy, you're not in the train store to talk about it. You're in the train store because you're looking for a Santa Fe car for your Christmas set. Just saying. So anyway,
yep.
Enough of that. What was your underrated thing?
Going on vacation by yourself.
I'm okay with that.
I've never done it, but it sounds awesome. No, I haven't. Well, no.
Well, I mean, a day at the museum by myself a few times.
Oh, how often do you ever hear? I mean, besides, like, one of the architectural firms I worked at, one of our clients, he owned, like, a tanning salon. And at first, it seemed kind of weird, but, like, it said, like, he would say, oh, yeah, my wife's going on vacation, and she's going to come back, and then I'm going to go on vacation. And I'm like, huh. I'm like, that's odd. I'm like, why would you and your wife take separate vacations? But now going on vacation with my family numerous times, now I kind of see why they do.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've never done it, but it sounds awesome.
I would.
Now
I plan on it.
I see why you would.
You don't see why I would?
It should be something you enjoy. And if you usually, I would go with my wife, but I mean, like, if you're going to go with, like, a bunch of family members, dude, it's going to suck balls. It's going to totally blow.
Right now,
you're going to go. And
right now, someone's listening to this on their vacation with their family, and they're like, God damn it, these guys are right.
No,
more than likely, your mother-in-law is going to go ape shit bonkers at one point and just
someone's listening, and
is gonna like leave the group, and you're gonna have to try and find her in the state of Maine. And
I was gonna say somebody's listening, and their wife's like, "You're thinking about that right now, aren't you? I want a divorce. What did we do? What have we done?" Way to start off 2016, guys. Real nice.
Or you're going to go out to eat, and then all of a sudden your mother-in-law is going to accuse you of making fun of her.
Oh, man, this is getting real now. It's getting real housewives up in here. So take off all your clothes.
I'm speaking of based on
something you saw on TV.
Actual events that have happened.
TV.
No, actual events that have happened to me.
Then you take ownership, and I will run and hide. Anyway.
But, yeah.
Sweet.
Going by yourself is underrated.
Alrighty. Well, we're going to just wrap it up with best thing ever, and we will get out of your hair for our first show of the year. So, since it is our first show of the year, I will say the best thing ever is 2015 is finally over. Nailed it.
I was gonna say that, so I
no, you weren't. I saw your picks.
How'd you see my pick?
Because you put them on the stupid script.
Put it on mine, not the one I sent you.
No, they're on everything.
Damn it. Oh well, whatever. I was gonna pick the one you picked because I agree, but at the same time, I started thinking about yesterday. I'm like, who am I kidding? 2016 is gonna suck too. I already know.
No, it will, but it
I don't need to even think. I don't even need to dwell on it for more than 5 minutes. I already can tell you what's going to happen.
Nothing.
It's actually better if you probably just go into it thinking it is going to suck, because then it might end up being really good.
That's true.
No, I pretty much expect every year to suck, and without fail, they don't let me down. They suck every time.
Yeah, I'm pretty much thinking this is going to go one or two, maybe possibly three bad dates with people I meet online, followed by a lot of comic books, occasional board games. Maybe I'll play some Elder Scrolls. There's going to be a lot of nights where I go, what am I doing with my life? Occasional almost car crash, and then there's going to be some trips to Subway I'm going to regret.
And don't forget Baker Square.
I never regret Baker Square. So much so that I may just go tonight or tomorrow. How do you like that? Boom.
See, that's why I was going to come out.
We'll go again next weekend.
Well, you'll do that anyways.
Well, that's what I said. We'll go next weekend, but that doesn't mean I can't go tonight or tomorrow or another time. Anyway, my best thing ever is nothing super special, but it's pretty hilarious to me, and that's the Todd Barry Crowdwork Tour special on Netflix. If you don't know who Todd Barry is, get some D-Located, get some Todd Barry, get some The Wrestler, get some... What's some other stuff Todd Barry's on?
Louie.
Yes, he actually has one of the best scenes on Louie ever, where Louie's trying to talk about his problems, and he's sitting there talking about dipping Louie's mom into a bathtub full of diarrhea with a cinder block on her head. I was crying so hard I thought I was going to pass out. Todd Barry is amazing, and he's kind of got a gut now, which rules. So if you're not a fan of Todd Barry, go watch the Crowdwork Tour and become a fan of Todd Barry, because he is the best.
He's kind of got a gut.
he doesn't even kind of. He's definitely got a gut, which makes me like him even more because he's joined us now and I'm into it.
he's on your level now.
No, it's more like he's stooped to my level, but he's still got a better job than me. So he gets to hang out with AC Newman, and I get to go sit in a cubicle and cry. So I'll trade with him anytime he wants.
Right on. Scott, what was your best thing ever?
2015 being over with.
Oh. Fallout 4.
Hmm. Feel like you've used that quite a bit lately.
Yeah, because it's pretty much what I've been doing.
Well, I've been noticing.
It's pretty awesome. And I haven't even, like, still haven't scratched the surface.
Scratch the surface.
Brian's gonna go listen to that album now.
I might.
I don't even know if I have it anymore.
I totally have it. Well, anywho. Well, there you have it. Our first comic roast of 2016. here's to hopefully better year, and we will see.
Oh, what? Real quick, the next number one for next week will be the new Lucifer number one. So if you've read it and you want to comment, then shoot them our way over at our Facebook page or on Twitter or anywhere else. If anything negative, send it to Chris, though.
Right. All of that. So here's to a better year, and you can find me on Twitter at XorsonX. You can find Brian at Pure Rock Fury. You can find Chris at SkateXEdge. And we will see you next week.
You are now leading the world of Musings of a Geek Podcast Network. Stay geeky, my friends.